welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible women. I have with me Katie Hafner and Leah Lem. Hello, friends.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kathy.
It's going so wonderfully, and I'm so excited that you are both here, and I would love to know a little bit more about you and where people can find you on the internet. Katie, if you want to go first.
My problem is, where can people not find me? I've been on this on the internet for so long, I feel like I invented it. So I'm a reporter, so there's all my journalism on the internet, but also I'm a book author, so there's all that. And I've written mostly for the New York Times, so there's that whole part of me. Then the other part of me as a podcaster, I have a couple. A few years ago, right around when COVID first started, I got very depressed, as did the rest of the world, and I decided to do a podcast to celebrate extraordinary mothers, just a really upbeat podcast. It's an interview podcast, and it's called Our Mothers Ourselves. And I interview, offspring of famous women about their moms, and just people who have just had extraordinary mothers who aren't necessarily famous. So that's my interview podcast. But then about a year ago, I started this thing that turned out to be sort of like a rocket ship that's taking off, called Lost Women of Science. And it's a fully produced, narrated storytelling podcast that revisits the historical record in science, one female scientist at a time. So we devote an entire season to the story of just one woman who did not receive the recognition she deserved in her lifetime. And that's Lost Women of Science.
Absolutely amazing. I love both of these podcasts that have very similar, thoughts behind it. Let's talk about these awesome women, but in two different areas, which is just, I can tell that means a lot to you.
Mm-hmm. It really does. I mean, we're a Lost Women of Science is a full nonprofit. We're a 501c3 and we're a full initiative. So we are also doing a children's book series, and we got amazing funding from the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the John Templeton Foundation and Schmidt Futures to really dive deeply. We're teaming up with Margot Shetterly, who wrote Hidden Figures, to carry on something that she started called the Human Computer Project. So there are all kinds of interesting things that we're doing with it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm so excited you're here.
No, me too.
All right, Leah, what about you?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff. But first, I want to say that, Katie, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to listen. It's so exciting to learn about more podcasts to check out. Where you can find me on the internet is a simple Google search will show you that Leah Lem does quite a bit of work in audio. I actually, got my start in radio, but I am the host of Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, and also a new podcast host. Podcast host of a new endeavor called Wisdom Continuum, celebrating Native knowledge for a better future for all. So I am a citizen of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and my goal is to amplify Native voices.
Love it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, Leah, you have the most amazing voice. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yes.
In a past life, I was a vocalist, singer.
And, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You might see that there too on the Google search. So.
Very silky, silky.
Watch out.
Oh, yeah. Silky is such a good description of her voice.
I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, now that I'm feeling completely, uninspired with these two incredible women, let's hear where they got their start. I would love to know, how did you start listening to podcasts, and what were some of those first ones that you found?
I think the first one that I got super, that got me truly hooked, that I remember, I'm sure there were others before that, where it was just kind of epiphanous to me, was pretty recently, actually, with Dirty John. I loved the way they put that together. It was suspenseful. It was scary. I thought they used the audio in an absolutely incredible way. And there's another one that really stuck with me, which was an early Radiolab episode called Unraveling Bolero. And I highly recommend this as kind of like the gold standard in what an hour long or 40, I don't know how long it is, 45 minute podcast episode should be. I won't tell you what it's about because it's so amazing. But if you want like one of the best podcast episodes I think ever made, it's called Unraveling Bolero, and it's an old Radiolab podcast.
Goodness. So this show has a bad habit of giving me many, many shows to listen to. And I already have added 4 to my queue. So this is
okay. Well, forget Radiolab. They have enough listeners. But just as a one-off, I really, truly, Kathy, as a one-off, this is just, my daughter even turned to me when we were listening to it years ago, and she said, "Mom, that's a book." I said, "I know, that's a book, but I didn't write it. I just should have and could have, but didn't." So, yeah, I know.
What a great way to start listening to podcasts and finding these incredible ones to just tweak that inspiration for you. That's incredible. All right, Leah, what about you? What got you started listening?
You know, I think my story is pretty common, but with Serial, it's a very popular podcast. And I think when was the Adnan Syed?
2014. Yeah.
14,
yeah,
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I lived in St. Paul and I had heard about Serial and the impact it was having on that case. And I turned it on. I remember sitting on my floor in the kitchen while wrapping Christmas presents and listening to it and just being blown away. And the time went by super fast while doing an errand or a task that I don't particularly... I mean, I like Christmas, right? But I don't like wrapping gifts. But anyway, I just binge listened to it while wrapping Christmas presents on my kitchen floor. And that was kind of the start for me when I realized I could multitask, you know, those otherwise dull tasks like grocery shopping and cleaning. And I was like, this is brilliant. I can be so entertained while doing all this other stuff.
It's so funny because Serial is one of those podcasts that everyone, you know, talks about. It made a revolution in getting podcasts outside of specific spheres. And as, you know, chuggy as it is, it's...
Chuggy?
Yeah. Look, I'm trying to be cool, okay?
Is that a Canadian thing?
No. So basically, kind of basic. It's a term that Gen Z calls anything that has become like too popular to where it's like a basic or it's very what's another word that I'm trying to think, but
is it like pumpkin spice lattes?
Yes, exactly. It's the pumpkin spice lattes of podcasting.
But there's like, something... that's too mainstream. It's not cool.
Yes. Oh, mainstream. Yes.
I see. Uh-huh.
But the thing is that it really had an incredible impact on the industry in a way that is really special because it meant that I no longer had to tell my family and friends and explain what a podcast was. I can say, yes, I podcast. And they're like, oh, cool. And I don't have to say, well, it's like a radio show that you listen to on your phone whenever you want. And that is great. And so I love how many people have come into the media sphere because of Serial.
Right. And I really like it, too, because it's like this reduction in gatekeeping, being able to reach the masses. But at the same time, it's building community and making a difference, like with the Serial podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this can actually have an effect greater than entertainment.
Yes. Did you ever listen to Undisclosed after Serial?
Which one is that?
So it is the one.
I might have. I listened to a lot.
So one of Adnan's cousins, I think. So she's a lawyer and she started a podcast with two other lawyers. And the first season they do the Adnan Syed story. But then other seasons they do other similar stories where they will not similar in. But like they'll pick someone who has been imprisoned, believed unjustly, and go through and like break down why the prosecution failed and or why they didn't meet the needs that it should have been. But they're coming at it from a lawyer's standpoint, and they've made some incredible headway in some of these cases that should have gotten more attention. And they're responsible for Adnan's like reopening his case and like discovery of those types of things. It really breaks down even deeper from season one of Serial. Like it really goes so much deeper. It's absolutely incredible. And anyone that I talk to that's really interested in Serial or got started because of Serial or interested in the Adnan Syed story, I'm like, hey, check out season one of Undisclosed as well.
Mm, thanks for the tip. Yay.
Gotcha. Put it on the to-do list.
Yeah, of course. I got to turn around and give other shows to people. You know, that's I can't just take more to my queue. I have to add some to someone else's.
That's right.
All right. So let's get to the next question. I would love to know what made you want to actually pick up a microphone and start recording your own podcast.
So, as I said, COVID had just hit. And I live in San Francisco, and my husband has become this huge COVID expert. He's a physician here in San Francisco, and he has like a million Twitter followers, all of whom hang on his every word about COVID. And it was so depressing. And I was walking the dog one day, and I just thought to myself, I can't take this anymore. And then I thought to myself, I have thoughts. I can do a podcast. It's like, and so I went home. I said, honey, I'm going to do a podcast. And he's like, oh, no, save me. And so I put this thing together. You guys, I had I knew about GarageBand. I knew it was built into my computer, but I had no idea how to use it. So I decided I was going to do the first episode about my 10th grade geometry teacher and Mrs. Fitzpatrick. And I found her daughter and her daughter said, oh, that's amazing. Yes, oh, right. Wonderful.
Oh my
So I interviewed this woman about her mom, who was in fact an extraordinary mother in Amherst, Massachusetts. And the thing sounded like absolute rubbish. I mean, I was like, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have the right microphone. I didn't have the right settings. I didn't know I was supposed to use headphones. I was using some really bad podcast app or site. And so I had to ask her to send me her voice memo recording. And I was stitching this thing together for days. And finally, I send this piece of garbage to my husband. And I felt like a 3-year-old who's just made a great, you know, a really bad drawing. And I sent it to him and I hear him downstairs listening to it. And I stole the music. Like I held my phone up to the microphone and had this really, I know. And he's like, and then I hear him listening and then I hear nothing. And then I think, oh no, what am I thinking? What have I done? And he just texted me. It was so sweet. And he just goes, wow. And that was it. I'm like off and running. And then now I'm a our mothers ourselves is a really well-oiled machine at this point. And then I thought, okay, now I can really make a difference with Lost Women of Science. And that, you know, we've grown, we're a big staff, we have a sound engineer, we have a composer, we have, you know, several producers, and an entire social media team. And we're distributed by PRX, if you can believe it. We're distributed by PRX, and our home is Scientific American, all because I decided that I could talk to someone about Mrs. Fitzpatrick's daughter. That's the story.
I love that origin story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It is magic because I'm a writer. I'm not a speaker. Like Leah is so clearly, she's got that voice and it's so beautiful. And I just write. And so it was so interesting to delve into this other medium. It's been absolutely fascinating.
That's so wonderful. And, you know, Leah, you mentioned earlier about like gatekeeping and there's something so powerful about this ability to decide you want to start a podcast, and regardless of what technology you have and history and knowledge and whatnot, you can start a podcast, and it can be something that needs to be heard, that people really latch onto and connect to. And it doesn't have to be, you know, vetted by three white dudes in a high-rise building in New York. And
here we go. Yes.
And 100%. That's just amazing and so wonderful.
Yep. That's exactly it.
All right, Leah, what about you? What got you started?
Well, I worked in public radio for a while behind the scenes on the technical side, operations side, supporting the talent, which I loved and really appreciated, learning everything. Like I said, I have a background in music too, so a lot of knowledge with Pro Tools and audio and microphones and setting things up for others, right? But while I worked in radio, monitoring stations and the transmitter sites and all of that stuff, I was so hungry to hear more Native voices or voices that sounded like my family and the original people of this land. I'm in northern Minnesota now, and, you know, home of the Dakota and Ojibwe people. And I'm like, why don't we hear these voices amplified as well? And that was, you know, years ago now. And so I figured I'd branch off on my own and find somehow to contribute, continue with, you know, tech help, that behind the scenes operation side, supporting the talent. But somehow, some way, I ended up in front of the mic, which was completely vulnerable and scary. But I would say I dipped my toes in as a reporter with Minnesota Native News, four or so years ago now. They figured, you know, I can write and I can build shows, do the tech side. So I was hired to do the thing. And so Minnesota Native News definitely took a chance on me. But it's been great and got a lot of support to help bring all my skills together to make radio, including, you know, making music and all of those things that you need to like put together something. So I'm kind of a one-stop shop now. And then while working at Minnesota Native News, we started creating a podcast. We're like, what is this podcast stuff? And, you know, let's give it a try. And so we started out with a few episodes of Native Lights Where Indigenous Voices Shine, just like a batch, like a bingeable batch of episodes, like six episodes that were like an hour long. And, you know, we released them all at once, kind of like a Netflix series or something like that. Like, here they all are. And come back next year for more. But actually, at the start of the pandemic, we turned it into a weekly series that started airing on radio stations. We thought, you know, now is the time to try to keep up community and those conversations. And, you know, we turned to virtual conversations, but it was it was incredible to keep up that sense of community that everybody was longing for when we kind of dispersed into our houses. But yeah, so that's how I got started in podcasting. And then I'm just constantly inspired by the people I talk to. So now I'm expanding out into some different conversations. I was inspired by, you know, the state of the world, climate change, energy crisis, wildfires, water availability, and all these things that, you know, all these challenges. And I wanted to explore how many Indigenous communities, Indigenous people in North America have a worldview and an approach that provides hope, you know, and like a way to walk on this planet with a deep understanding of what's necessary to move forward. And so that's what prompted Wisdom Continuum to get up and running. So celebrating Native knowledge for everyone's benefit. And that's kind of how I started making podcasts. I just sort of, you know, do it all and figured it out. And, you know, rough starts and stops. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, you know, with the gatekeeping, it's just really nice to be able to, you know, if you have an idea, to just put it out there. You know, yeah. There is the double side to that, of course, just like with social media and everything like that. But I feel like it's so, you know, it feels really liberating to be able to amplify Native voices in a way that, you know, I like to see and my community wants to see.
Yeah, in a way that hasn't really been done yet and before. And it's becoming such a wonderful, it's so wonderful because I'm in Oregon and I can learn about Native voices, not in my area. Like, yes, I can talk to my local people, but if I want to learn, hey, what's going on in Minnesota? How is this being different? How is different areas treating everybody differently, but also like these valid voices that deserve to be heard all over the world, really can help open your own eyes into, you know, whatever privilege you are lucky enough to be blessed with, but then also like helping out other people in a way that can be really natural and make it easier for people to accept and learn to grow and change. And I love how podcasting has allowed that kind of thing to happen. You don't have to go and march in a protest or be at an in-person meeting to make a difference.
I often feel really self-conscious because my social media presence is not great. I'm just like, you know, it's been around, like, you know, Facebook started when I was a senior in college, and I don't know, I like it, but I just don't feel like I get really into the whole, you know, advocacy and stuff like that on social media. So I'm like, how can I possibly, you know, add to the conversation without needing to be online 24/7? So it's like my own little way of making progress.
I love that. That's so wonderful. That's so great. Yes. However you can contribute to changing the world for a better, however that looks, is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So keep it up.
All right.
I've now given you permission. So, you know, clearly you can continue doing what you're doing because I know you were so worried.
I know, right? It's not. Well, Native Lights is basically all about that. Sharing our gifts for the betterment of our community. So it's kind of it's on brand, yeah. I would say.
Love it. All right. Let's live in the present here for a moment. I'd like you to pull out your phones and tell me what podcast episode would play if you clicked play on your podcast app of choice.
So this is embarrassing, but I've been obsessed with this one particular podcast. So I'm a, as I mentioned maybe three or four times already, I'm a writer, not a talker necessarily. So I listen pretty obsessively to podcasts that are devoted to writing. And one of them is, of course, the New Yorker Fiction podcast, which is amazing. Stop me if you want to hear anything more about any of these. The next one I listen to is called Writers on Writing, which is also quite amazing. It's interviews with writers about craft and their latest book, like Elizabeth Strout, you know, who wrote Olive Kittredge. She was on recently for her new book. And it's just, I love the interviewers. There are two women who host it, and they ask wonderful questions, and they really get the guest relaxed. And then the one that I'm obsessed with, you guys are going to like think I'm totally crazy, which I am. It's called Between the Covers, and it's conversations with writers in fiction, nonfiction, and I can't read the other part. I'm reading this little thing to you. Nonfiction and something. Anyway, I had never heard it before, and then I turned it on. It's like each one of them is 2 hours or 2.5 hours of interviewing like this one person. I know, right? So on November 1st, the guy who's the host of this thing interviewed this woman named Rosemary Waldrop. Have you heard of her? Neither had I. She's a poet, married to another poet named Keith Waldrop. She's 86 years old, and she's amazing. Her voice is amazing. What she says about poetry is amazing. What she says about her poetry and her relationship to language is amazing. So now my family, it looks like the host is David Naiman, N-A-I-M-O-N. It's called Between the Covers. And the hilarious thing is that now every single time I turn on the engine on the car, up she comes. So it's like I've got her in my ear like 24/7 to the point where my family is like, are you okay? Because I just listened to this one podcast of Rosemary Waldrop, and he has her read her poetry, and she's German, but she's 86 years old, so she has that old fashioned kind of like almost like fresh from Germany, even though she's lived here for 55 years, accent. And it's amazing. So that's what's, I hate to admit this, in my ear right now. I should really actually get off this drug.
It's a healthy addiction to have. And if it makes you happy and gives you joy, that's worthy.
I know. Well, it's so interesting because she talks about the gaps between words, and it's like, really? We're listening to someone talk about the gaps between words? And it's just absolutely fascinating. And once in a while, I'll jump off that and go to New Yorker Fiction. But yeah, that's what I've been listening to lately.
Love it. Amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah, I love all of that. I think that's so cool. Like the space between words, that's so intriguing. You know, as a sound person, as a vocalist, as a recovering poet.
Okay, well, so it's Rosemary Waldrop. It's called Between the Covers, in case I haven't mentioned it. Leah, I would love to hear what you think of this.
Okay.
As a sound person. It's like, what does room tone tell us, right? I know.
Lovely.
I mean, she doesn't go into this. She's a poet. But I'm so interested in the poetry of room tone, right?
I have to think about that. Okay, so stuff I'm listening to. So, in all honesty, if, you know, I open up my podcast player, my generic podcast player, and I go to play. Honestly, I am listening right now to the Osterholm update, COVID-19, with Dr. Osterholm from SIDRAP here in Minnesota, at the University of Minnesota. I just learned to have a breakthrough case. And so I'm in isolation.
And oh, you're a breakthrough case?
Yep. I also had my booster.
You are kidding. You got a breakthrough case with a booster?
Yeah. I have no idea. I love masks. I love sending my kid to school in masks, all this stuff. So, you know, I try not to worry about it too much. But, like, I just feel like Dr. Osterholm has such a balanced, calming, yet, like, honest approach to his coverage. And I also, I do another program. It's just kind of wrapping up now, but we'll see, called COVID-19 Community Conversations, exploring how Indian Country in Minnesota is responding and adapting to the current pandemic, where we talk about just that. And so I feel like his voice is such a good, informative way to approach the pandemic that we're all living in. That's like, it doesn't stress me out. Yeah, I could otherwise be stressed out. So that, in all honesty, that is what I was listening today before this. But I also have, I have true crime all over the place. My favorite murder, of course. I have anything from the Freakonomics radio network. I listen to that. And a new one I'm getting into is the Spirits podcast from Multitude.
Well, it's funny because your answer is exactly what made me want to ask this question. I like, you know, we're going to talk about favorites here shortly. But that your favorite podcast, you can only listen to it so much. I mean, unless you're Katie. But there's something to be said about what you're actively listening to. It's the ones that people are a little bit more embarrassed about, or they wouldn't bring it up on the list, but it's what they're currently actively listening to. And I just love that question as a preface and a way to set up for the next question. So you did perfect. And Katie, you did too. Like, both of you are perfect. But anyways, moving on. Now that I'm digging my hole deeper, tell me about your favorite podcasts and why do you love them so much?
I loved Dolly Parton's America, absolutely loved it, except I had a little bit of a beef with it. So now that I'm kind of in the business of having to generate episodes for PRX, I know that they, you know, that you actually have to generate a certain number of episodes. And so there was one episode. Have you guys listened to Dolly Parton's America?
I did not even know it existed. And I'm so like, how did I miss this? So what I've learned is this episode for me is going to be really bad on my gigantic queue. But please continue.
You will love it. Leah, did you listen to it?
No.
It's great. It's great. But there is an episode I will call a filler episode. So that is one of my very favorites. S-Town is one of my very favorites of all time. Have you guys heard that one? Yeah, I absolutely love that. And the one I just love so much, but it's also, do radio shows that are also podcasts, do those count?
Absolutely. Whatever you want counts.
Do you guys listen to On Being at all?
I just love it.
It's with Krista Tippett, and she just talks with people, famous people, about you know, these existential questions. She's talked to everybody from Yo-Yo Ma to the poet David White, who, by the way, I interviewed about his mother. It's great. It's fabulous.
All right, Leah, what about you? What are your favorites?
So if I see a new episode come through, I have to listen immediately. And it's Morbid podcast. I don't know if you know it.
No.
Oh, you don't?
How
oh, my
do
goodness.
Morbid? I'm learning so much.
Morbid, a true crime podcast. It has hosts Elena and Ash, and they're essentially sisters who just make you feel like you're a part of like a cool hang, talking about crime and just anything. They're from the Boston area, so that's fun. And I don't know, it's just intriguing to hear these old cases. Like one of their latest episodes was on Murder in the House of Gucci.
Ooh.
So they talk about the Gucci murder, and it's just their commentary, I think, is the actual meat and potatoes of the podcast. But it's fun because they have a very loose, let's say, a very loose release schedule. Schedule in quotes. It kind of just comes out when it comes out. And I actually really appreciate that because it's almost like a surprise. Like, here you go. And it's charming. They're really charming and energetic and hilarious. But that's kind of my, I don't want to say I'm embarrassed. It doesn't feel very, you know, intellectual or something like that, but I love it.
Well, and that's what's important. Like, you don't have to have, like, podcasts are not limited to intellectual conversations. And I think that's what's so wonderful about podcasts, is that there are so many ways you can listen, and you can listen to so many different styles, like one right after another. So you can listen to, you know, the Osterholm update, and then go to a game show, and then let's hear about true crime, and then let's listen to a complex fiction story with audio sounds and Foley work and music. Like, there's no one definition of what a podcast is other than, do you listen to it? Like that. And that's just so wonderful. And I just love how special that is.
Yeah, for sure. I do enjoy those like mystery podcasts too. So anything with with those twists and turns and stuff like that, I think is fun.
Oh, then Leah, you will love S-Town so much.
Okay.
Oh my God. It's so good.
Excellent. So good. But I do also want to recommend a couple other native podcasts. All My Relations podcast is a good one too, and also Toasted Sister podcast, and that one talks a lot about like Indigenous foods and things like that. So a couple of great native podcasts out there too, and there's more, and hopefully even more and more coming out. So
give us more world.
I know.
Bring it
exactly.
On.
It needs it.
All right, so thank you both so much for answering these incredible podcast-related questions. And audience, you know what time it is. That means it's time for the bonus question. If you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire! Bonus. I also would love to hear your answers to my bonus questions. So tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire! Answer to share your answers to my questions. So this episode's question is, what was the best thing about how your parents raised you?
Well, my parents were wolves.
So they taught you how to hunt.
The very best thing about my father was that when he read us bedtime stories, it wasn't like Dr. Seuss or that stuff. He actually read Kafka to us. And so when I was 8 years old, he read us, my sister and me, The Metamorphosis. And I loved it. And I became kind of a Kafka. You guys are going to think I'm so odd. I became kind of a Kafka scholar in college. I ended up majoring in German literature.
Wow.
At UC San Diego, I know. And that was thanks to my father, who just didn't think the kids, he thought, why not read, adult fiction? I don't mean adult,
right.
That kind of it. But like something
grown-up,
that grown-up
stories.
Grown-up stories. And so you could kind of think he should be arrested for reading us Kafka. But I have to say, it was really, that was very special. And he also read Saki. Do you know that writer, Saki? He read a fabulous short story called Shredni Vashtar, which I still remember. And I became a writer probably because of it, mostly nonfiction. But I now have my first. I've written 6 nonfiction books, and now I have my first novel coming out in July. And I think it's quite shocking that I sold a novel.
I'm so excited.
So am I. Can I tell you what the title is?
Please do.
So it's not coming out till July, but it's gonna. The title is The Boys, it's absolutely made up from beginning to end, which is very unusual for me. So thank you to my father for that.
See, there we go. I knew you could find something. Mm-hmm. All right, Leah, what about you?
I think I'll sum it up in a story. I remember being in my teens, maybe early teens or 12 or something like that. And I remember my dad told a joke that was inappropriate or that I found inappropriate. And I was like, and I told him, Dad, I don't think you should say that. And I don't like it. And, and he was... at first he was like upset, and I felt really bad because, he was just trying to have fun and all of that. And, I remember my mom being like, what's wrong? Like, what happened between you and Dad? I was like, I don't know. I feel really, feel really bad. And so the next day I went up to him and I was like, Dad, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to. And he goes, you know what? No, don't apologize. It's my fault. I want you to be able to speak up when you feel like something's wrong or that something is inappropriate, and especially to men. And so I think that was just kind of telling of the lessons that I learned growing up was, to speak your mind. Be empowered, and try to, not let things that are wrong just fly by you. But I think, I think that's it. That's my example.
Leah, when I heard that, I just got total chills. Mm. How wonderful. What a gift, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think about it a lot, and I didn't even think about it at the time really so much. I was like, oh yeah, I guess. But as I got older, as a young kid.
As kids, okay, Dad, whatever you say. Sure.
Yeah. But now, I have an 8-year-old now, so I'm like, that makes so much sense. It has played a role in my life. So
absolutely beautiful. Thank you both for answering those deeply personal questions. after exploring all of your podcast listening. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at friendsinears. You can find Katie at Katie Hafner on Twitter. And Leah is all over the internet, but not on social media. And I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much. And I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.